Okay, good morning, everyone. Our shiur is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Branch out in a new direction next tax season. Okay, I think, Taka, we're almost up to the taxes, right?
Yeah.
I was holding my taxes. I know, because when my wife asks me for the W-2s, that's I do nothing having to do with our taxes. Although she was working with the accountant to try to figure out if the two shiurim I gave on our RV trip in different communities could render parts of that experience tax deductible. So we'll get back to you on where the glassers stand in terms of tax evasion. Anyway, the breakfast is sponsored by Bagelman, Shli'ili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, Fega Bas Chaim, and here we are, Baruch Hashem, on Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph. See me later if you want my Ha'aris on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We'll discuss that another time. Okay. Says the... I see that story made it around already. Mitch is a tzaddik that he showed up at my house. Mitch is an absolute tzaddik.
I want that prevalent recorded, by the way.
Mitch is a tzaddik, 100%. From his, how does the song go? From his pitzola to his tukola, that's right? Noach is a great tzaddik. Okay, so the Gemara is discussing Simchas Pesach Shoeva, the absolute elevated and elating joy that was part of the Sukkot holiday. Much of it coming from this simcha of drawing of the water. Water, of course, being, except for yesterday, a source of tremendous life and vitality. Therefore, part of Sukkot, as we know, is the celebration of Geshem, of our sustenance, and in particular, the way that interfaces with Hashkachas Hashem. Right? Sukkot is all about recognizing our vulnerability and that ultimately everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes sense that it overlaps, I'm sure this was discussed, it makes sense that it overlaps with this focus on Geshem and Nisuch HaMayim, because this is the primary way in which, certainly in an agricultural society, and as we've discovered, even in a less agriculturally focused society, this is the primary way that we are able to survive here on Earth, and ultimately... even with all the feats of engineering, nothing can supplant the divine grace of the heavens opening up and providing rain. So, Hashkachas Hashem, our vulnerability, that this is not something we can control, and ultimately relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention as intentional and significant and present is something that is obviously the key to our survival and our ability to thrive. And therefore, that's a source of a focus for the Chag HaSukkos. That's what Chag HaSukkos is all about. And that's why Nisuch HaMayim and Geshem intersect with the Chag of Sukkot. It's not an accident. And the Simcha of Beis HaShoeva is being Shoev, this Mayim, is the first step in the human engineering, so to speak, in the human pulling out the human drawing of this grace of the Rabbanu Shalom, this Ashkach of the Rabbanu Shalom, and that is the source of incredible simcha. That is the source of incredible simcha. The human experience of Ashkachas Hashem is one of the primary sources of simcha. So therefore, this simcha went on, and it was expressed by the Jewish people, in particular in the Beis HaMikdash. The last line of Nun Beis Amud Beis, while Yachatzer B'Yushalayim, everything was illuminated. It's the title of a book, right? Everything was illuminated. Not a book anybody here would read. And what do you call it? Actually, that book won the National Jewish Book Award the same year as my father-in-law's book, The Jewish Cultural Tapestry, won the National Jewish Book Award. And that's appropriate because I was telling Mitch that next Sunday they're launching my father-in-law. When he passed away, he left a 790-page manuscript of a book, as we all tend to do. And I'm sure we're all working on one. And his colleagues put it together, and they're publishing it, and they're launching it, Be'ez Hashem, next Sunday. So it's a big simcha in our family. But actually, it's being launched here in New York and in California and in Israel by the Leo Beck Institute. Anyway, I expect you all to buy it. It is $160 on Amazon.
That's it?
Okay, that's it. Maybe you'll get it used. Although I will probably be the only one buying the copy, the new copy. So when I'm done with it, maybe I'll sell it used. So, all right, now academics and David Adler will have it. So there's tremendous illumination. Tana. It was so illuminated that a woman could literally separate the chaff from the kernels of the biborer, the chitim, the wheat, from this light of the Simchas Beis HaShoev, which Tosis points out seems a little strange because that sounds like you're actually utilizing the mikdash itself for personal purpose. And that's what we call me'ilah. Right? You're not supposed to leverage it for personal purpose. So Tosis has a number of possibilities. Maybe Me'ilah doesn't apply to Or. Or is like an intangible. You know, light is not something you could say you get benefit from. That is an interesting assertion when it comes to, let's say, Hanukkah, when it comes to, let's say, Amir La'akum. I mean, there are lots of contexts that we could explore that possibility. And in the end, Tosis basically says that the Gemara is not telling you that they did this. The Gemara is not telling you, like, you know, everyone else was like juggling and having roller coasters and moon bounces in the Chatzar, the Beis HaMikdash, and these women are sitting there, ooh, let's use the light to do Borer on Chitim. He's just telling you, giving you an illustration of how light it was, how illuminated it was, that that's what people did. Chasidim v'anshei ma'isa. So says the Gemara, so the Chasidim and the Anshei Ma'isa, the Mishnah tells us, we're very involved. Don't think that this was something that, like, the people, you know, who were not the masmidim would involve themselves in. No, the experience of Simchas Beis HaShoeva involved the greatest of the great. The greatest of the great. Chasidim and the Anshei Ma'isa. And they used to go ahead and they would dance and they would sing. Right? That's what the Mishnah tells us. Chasidim and Anshei Ma'isa. Chasidim and Anshei Ma'isa. Miraktim bifneim ba'avukos. Shel or shbiyadeyem. They would, the Mishnah says, they would dance with torches of fire that were in their hand. And they would say songs and sishpachos, and there was music, and there was instruments. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Yesh mehen omrim, there are some amongst them that would say, Ashrei yulotanu shelo baisha ezeknu seinu. Elu chasinim v'anshei ma'isa. So some would say, Ashrei yulotanu, like, how fortunate are we to be born that we weren't embarrassed into our old age, meaning we never did anything wrong, that we were the chasidim, we were, says Rashi, kochasad abichasad miyikaro, shalobayish, shalavarno aver bialdu salavayish as a kineso. We don't have a checkered past. We don't have a, high school summer of whatever, you know, where we explored different possibilities. But we've been chasidim merosh adasof. The Yesh Men Omrim, and some would say, no, that's not the only way that a person could, celebrate their accomplishments. Ashrei ziknuso shekip kapra es yiladatonu. Even if we did have some whatever in our youth, even if we did make mistakes in our youth, did do averus in our youth, ashrei ziknuso that we did tshuva, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper for these things. Elu balei tshuva. These are balei tshuva. Elu ve'elu omrim, but everybody would agree that you could say, asher mishlo chata, certainly it's praiseworthy if you didn't sin, umishachata, and if you did sin, yashav yim cholo, that you could be able to do tshuva and have mechila for it. Achronim all ask, isn't this kind of gaiva? Like, isn't this a little bit haughty to go ahead and get up and say, I'm not saying about me, but Ashrei, for those who are the gadol ador that I am, we can't really picture our gedolim, getting up and saying this. Like, what is going on here? So one answer is the possibility that when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, a person doesn't have to be so humble. That when, obviously not in all contexts, but in certain contexts, a person should share what their accomplishments of Yiras Shamayim are, because those accomplishments will inspire others, and those accomplishments substantiate lives that are lived al pi taras hakodesh. So it's not true that in all scenarios that a person's accomplishments in Yiras Shamayim, not their accomplishments materially, shouldn't be extolled as something virtuous and something that we should emulate. And the other possibility you mentioned in the Achronim is that not that it's so great, but oh, the other possibility mentioned in the Achronim is that we know when it comes to tshuva, so the Gemara tells us that what is expected of the human being to take that initial step forward, right? And atem poschim psucha shel mechat v'ani, what is it? Poschim psucha shel ulam, right? That you open the hole a little bit, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu will come, and he will, you know, he will b'derach shadam rotza leilech malichin also. So tshuva doesn't mean that we fix everything. Tshuva means we take a step forward. When you take a step forward, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes in and he'll give you the inspiration and the strength and the chizuk to be able to grow tremendously. So when a person gets up and says that I did tshuva, you're not necessarily taking credit and drawing all the attention upon yourself. You're saying, I took a step forward, and Baruch Hashem, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and he helped me be able to accomplish so much more. So that's, you know, that's part of it. Tanya says the Braisa, Amru Allah v'Hil HaZaken, they would say about Hil HaZaken, and Hil HaZaken was alive in Bayit Sheni. Kishahaya Sameach b'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when he was very happy on the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Amar Kain, so he would say the following, Imani Kan HaKol Kan. So there are different interpretations of this line in the Gemara, in the Rishonim. You know, some say it's the Hillel's classic line about taking personal responsibility. Imani Kan, if I bring myself, if I take achrayus to bring myself to a situation, akol kan, then the totality of my commitment and my potential for impact is also present. But Rashi interprets this line as actually referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imani kan akol kan. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be present in the context of the Mikdash, then akol kan. Then everyone else in Klal Yisrael can also access the grandeur and the beauty and the simcha of the Beis HaMikdash. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not able to go ahead and be present in the context of the Mikdash, if Hashem can't be present in the Mikdash, so then Mikan, then nobody could be present in the Mikdash. And it's sort of a form of rebuke, you know, that if Klal Yisrael creates a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ashras Ashchina is incompatible with the behavior of the Jewish people, so now the Rabbanu Shalom's presence can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, so then nobody can be in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what ultimately results in its destruction. Hu Ayo Omer, he used to say, Kain Lemakom Shani Oev Sham, Hu Ayo Omer Kain, Lemakom Shani Oev Sham, Ragli Malichos Osi, and Hillel would say, to the place that I would love to be, to the place that I want to be, that's where my feet will take me. And then he, quoting again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im tavo el beisi, ani avo. So Hillel says, you know, it's personal choice. Do you want to go and travel and engage the Rabbanu Shalom and his presence in the Beis HaMikdash? So if you do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you come to my house, ani avo el beisecha. If you come to my house, I'll come to your house. I'll come to this Mikdash. If you don't come to my house, meaning you're not present as part of this experience of elevating Kedusha and the Mikdash, then I won't come to the house. Any place where you mention my name, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avo Elecha Ubirach Ticha. That's where I will come to you and bless you. So what's you know? So the point here is don't say, we're here in the context of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and it feels like, God, there's such simcha, there's such joy, there's such elation, everything is wonderful. What the Gemara is saying is don't take it for granted. Hillel HaZaken would tell people, don't take this for granted. The only reason we're able to have this experience is not because there's a guaranteed, automatic presence of the Rabbanu Shalom. It's because the Rabbanu Shalom's here. And the only reason the Rabbanu Shalom's here is because we're there, not just there physically, but we're there spiritually. So that's a very important layer. Yes.
It's also a beautiful proof text that follows, this pasuk follows immediately Matan Torah.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Yitro. So mm-hmm. It's also that sense of like, from the giving of the Torah.
Yes.
Continuation. It's a nice
temple. Yes, yes. Which is, by the way, what some of the Farshim say, that the Mishkan itself was a Hamshacha of Sinai, right? That's the Mechlokos Rishonim, the Ramban, exactly, against Rashi. If Ein Muktam Amuchar B'Torah, Yesh Muktam Amuchar B'Torah. So says the Gemara continues, since it mentioned a saying of Hillel, Afu Ro Gogoas Acha Chesipa Apnei Amayim, so a famous statement of Hillel that we actually find, I believe, in Pirkei Avos as well, that that if you see the Gulgoles, Hillel saw a skull. Hillel saw skulls floating on the water. So Omar Law, so he said towards the skull, al de'at teft atfuch umitifeich yitufun. What yitufun? What does that mean? That means that because you drowned others, you were drowned, and those that drowned you, they will also drown. It's a statement of basically mida keneged mida. That's what the Mefarshim say. So Pashtus is, we were talking about Hillel HaZaken, and then we brought in one of his mantras, you know, to kind of create that sort of thematic continuity. But it's not too hard to understand that what Hillel is basically conveying is the sense of mortality, even in the context of Simcha, the sense of this isn't guaranteed. It's something that you have if you live life properly. But there are consequences to not living life properly. Mida keneged mida. If Klal Yisrael does not appreciate the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will leave the Mikdash, and as a result, obviously result in Churban. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rabbi Yochanan, Ragloi devar inish eino arvin bey la'asar de mitzoi tamin muvalin yasei. So he makes a statement, and the statement basically is that where a person, because we were talking about where people are present, so the legs of a person is going to find themselves, will not, basically, the legs of a person are responsible for them, arvin bey, la'asar, to bring them to the place, the mitoyvi tam in muvlin, that they're needed to be in order to wherever they're going to be. So the Gemara basically interprets this as relating to a person's experience of Misa, that the Ribbono Shel Olam decides where you're going to be when the experience of Misa occurs. So the Gemara gives an example. Hani Tarti Kushoi, there were these two Kushoim, and they were Havakame Kame Shlomo, and they were before Shlomo HaMelech, Ali Cheref v'Achye b'nei Shisha. Their names were Ali Cheref and Achye, the sons of Shisha. So from the Shlomo, they were scribes for Shlomo. Have a Yom Echad. There was one day. Chazei l'Malach HaMavis. Shlomo saw the Malach HaMavis hanging out. So the Havaka Otziv and the Malach HaMavis was sad. So Amar Leis, he goes over to him. Amaya Tzivsa. Why are you so sad? So I'm trying to get a hold of these two kushayim, but they're sitting here, and I only have license to take them somewhere else. So as soon as Shlomo heard this, these were his guys. He didn't want them to die. So Masrinu l'Seirim. So Shlomo accessed his friends, the demons, the Shadim. Shlomo was the melech over everything, even the Shadim. Shadrinu l'mechuzah de Luz, and he sent them to Luz. And he sent them to Luz. Luz, you got protected from the Malach HaMavis. Ki matu l'mechuzah de Luz, but when they got to the entrance of Luz, shechibu, they died. So l'machar, the next day, chazi Malach HaMavis, Shlomo sees the Malach HaMavis, kahave dahava kabodach. He was laughing. He was excited. He was giddy. So that's not good. So amar lei, amai bedichas, right? What's gotten you so excited? So Amar Lei Ba'asar Debo Minei Tamon Shadrusinu, from the place to the place that I needed to take them, you sent them. That's where my instructions were to take them from. So, you know, I outfoxed you, you know, Shlomo. Miyad Pasach Shlomo Ve'omar, and that's where Shlomo got this. So Shlomo didn't become despondent that somehow he had been responsible for them dying. Shlomo realized that there's certain ashkacha, raglo davar inish inun arvin bay la'asad m'sam tamon muvlon yase, that the where it is that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be is where your legs are going to take you. Rachmana Litzlan, whenever we deal with a family that's experiencing a loss, so losses happen in all sorts of different circumstances, right? Sometimes they happen with the family surrounding the loved one at the, in a home or in the hospital, and there is a very sort of meaningful sense of closure. Sometimes they happen in a very distant way, in an awful way, right? During COVID, there was tremendous, tremendous pain. So I always tell people that it's not, and people feel very guilty. You know, if they missed it, let's say they were on a trip or they were, you know, not where they, you know, they thought they were going to come back. Sometimes they go to get a cup of coffee. And, you know, people feel always very guilty if for some reason they weren't there, you know, at this moment in time. And I always tell people, this Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what the circumstances are going to be. And you're, and whomever is meant to be standing wherever they're standing is going to be standing wherever they're standing. How and why Hashem decides that certain people should have Misa in one way and certain people should have Misa in another way, we have no idea. Perhaps it's a kapara for the person. Perhaps it's a kapara for us. Perhaps it has to do with what some sort of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos are. We don't know, but what we do know, based on this Gemara, is it has nothing to do with whether or not you made the wrong appointment or you stepped out to go to the bathroom or you thought you could fly on Monday, but in the end you should have gone on Sunday. At the end of the day, you could have made all the arrangements you want. The Ribbono Shel Olam decides how this is going to happen. And for whatever reason, there was some sort of Gemara Din on the world that at a particular tkufa, a lot of people faced Misa on their own or faced Misa without the ability to have loved ones present. We don't understand that, but that's not due to a lack of effort of the erishtadlus of on the part of anyone. The Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrates things to be the way they should be, and it's our job to just behave normally, to make rational cheshbonos. Sometimes the rational cheshbon is to jump on a plane. Sometimes that's not the rational cheshbon. To make rational cheshbonos, and Kadosh Baruch Hu decides where everything's going to be. Tanya, Amru Olav al Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kishahaya Sameach Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So, great, you know, transition here. So, talking about juggling. So, Amru Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, so Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would say when he was performing for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Hayanotel Shmona Avukos Shor Vizorek Achas Venotel Achas. He would be able to take 8 torches and throw them up. And Zorek Vinotel, which basically means throw them and catch them, to juggle them. The Ein Nogaz Zubazu, and in the air, neither would touch each other, right? So there's always that one guy at the Chasana, right, who feels the need to juggle fire because this is how he expresses his joy. Everyone else is standing around like, you know, V'kishahu Mishtachaveh. And so here's the thing. When he would do this, he would be able to, while juggling, do Ishtachavaya. He would be able to bow. No, it's Shnei Gedulav. You would be able to like implant his 2 thumbs, ba'aretz, in the ground. V'shochav and noshek as a ritzpah. You'd be able to go ahead and bow and kiss the floor. V'zokef and rise up. Ve'en kobir yichol asos kein. And don't think that everybody could do this. This was a tremendous kayach. This is a tremendous talent to be able to do this, to bow and juggle at the same time. V'zui kida, and this ability, this talent was called kida. So Levi achve kida kamei de Rebbe. Levi attempted this kida in front of Rebbe, the itla, and he injured himself, and he was crippled from this injury. V'ha garmale. So the Gemara says, really, that's why Levi? That's what that happened to Levi? V'amar Rabbi Elazar la'olam ayetiach adam dvarim klape mala. But didn't we not learn that we know we have a principle: a person shouldn't scream at the heavens. Meaning, have tainas on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, shari adam gadol itiach dvarim klapi mala, because a great person did that, the idla, and it resulted in him becoming crippled. So isn't this the reason? Umanu Levi, and who is that person? Levi. So the Gemara says, not hava ha garmale. It was both. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Levi ava mital kamei de Rebbe bitamni sakine. So Levi, and I guess this is kind of a chiddush, despite his back problems, Levi would juggle 8 knives, okay? So I don't know, maybe we should have given Levi the torches. You know, I don't know. Okay, Shmuel Kamei Shavur Malka B'Tamnaya Mazgi Chamra. Shmuel used to juggle eight cups of wine without them spilling. Abaye Kamei B'Timnia Bai B'A. He used to be able to juggle eight eggs. Someone said it was only four eggs. Okay, we got that down. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa. Amar Rabbi Yishua ben Chanina, k'shayinu smeh from Simchas Pesach Shoeva, lo ra'inu sheina be'einenu. When we would involve ourselves in the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, we would literally not see sleep to our eyes. Ketzad, what was the schedule for the week of Simchas Pesach Shoeva? Shor rishona tamid shel shachar. So they wake up, the first thing they have is tamid shel shachar. Misham letfila. From there, they would go to Davin. So, first of all, this Gemara is one of the sources of the notion that, you know, we assume, because the Gemara in Brachas tells us that tefillah is connected karbanos tiknum, which sounds like there was no tefillah, you know, during the karbanos. They had karbanos. They had karbanos. And then after we had no longer karbanos, we would daven. Very hard to understand that because, you know, you learn a lot about tefillah and what its purpose is and how essential and critical and fundamental it is. Adam davened. Yeah, Moshe davened, like, what does that mean? Because it was a Tamid Shel Shachar being brought in Yerushalayim, the people in Tveria never davened, like, everybody just hooked on to this Tamid Shel Shachar. So the assumption is that, no, of course people davened. There wasn't a formal text of a sitter for davening. That wouldn't come later to the Anshei Knesset Sagdola, and that those, and the rhythm of tefillah would ultimately be anchored in the patterns of the Karbanos, because that is what would inspire people for tefillah. But people still spoke to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. People still davened. Chana davened. People davened, right? Misham, so people would go to daven. Misham le karban musaf. So after the drasha, they would bring the karban musaf. Misham le tefillah samusafin. And then they would have a tefillah of musaf. Misham le beis hamedrash. From there, they would go to the shir, the Mishnah shir. Misham la'achila. From there they would go v'shtia. From there they would go to their meal. Misham l'tfilah samincha. Then they would daven tfilah samincha. Misham l'tamid shel bein arba'im. It's discussed a little bit why, when it comes to mincha, the davening's before the tamid shel bein arba'im. Probably because they want to bring the tamid shel bein arba'im as close to shkia as possible. Mikan, or maybe people just wanted to get home earlier. Probably not, right? Mikan ve'elech l'simchas beis ha'shoeva. From there, they would go to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So that's a pretty full schedule, right? That's a pretty full schedule. So Ini is at Sova, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shavuah Shelo Ishin Shloshah Yamim Malkinoso. Really, this is what went on with Chol HaMoed. Like, you know, we have a halacha that if somebody says, I take a Shavuah, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. So the Yoshin, so Malkinoso, we punish him for taking such a Shavuah, because it's a Shavuah Shav. Why is a Shavuah Shav? Because it's impossible. No one could exist for 3 days without sleep at all, right? Unless it's finals. V'yoshin la'alter. Now we send him to sleep. We tell him, you know, don't try to force this on your body. It's not possible. It's not healthy. Elohalki komar. Lo tamnu. So how can you tell me they didn't sleep? So lo tamnu tamshina da'ava minamne akat v'da'adodi. It doesn't mean that they didn't sleep at all. It means they would doze on each other's shoulders a little bit, like some of doing now. Chamesh esrei ma'alos. So then the Mishnah says that where we're 15 steps, right? The Mishnah talked about the klishir below mispar. There were so many instruments. Achamesh esrei malos hayardos me'ezras Yisrael le'ezras nashim. That there were 15 steps that would descend from the Ezras Yisrael, where the chatzar was, to the Ezras nashim, where the Simchas Pesach Shoeva was. Right? Keneged chamesh esrei malos shebetehillim. And that's where the Leviim would sing, Shaleh and Leviim omdim b'kli shir, b'omim shira, and v'omdu shnei kohanim b'shar elyon, the two kohanim would stand at the shar elyon, sheyorid me'ezes Yisrael, le'ezes nashim, shnei chatzotzos b'yadein, and they would have two chatzotzos in their hands. So that was the experience. These 15 steps were connected the 15 shira maloses that we say, right? Said in front of the Rabbanon, when he was Masader, some of the Agaritas before them, these 15 Shiramaloses corresponding to what David composed them. So Amar Lei, Hacharim, Yochanan, Bisha, At the time, Shkar David Shisin, here's what happened. When David was preparing the area of the Beis HaMikdash to be able to handle a Beis HaMikdash, so before they built the Beis HaMikdash, they had to build the piping systems, the Shisin, the vats, you know, underneath in order to be able to contain the water that they would use for all of this and the wine. So Kafat, so he dug them deep. Kafat Tahoma Ubay Lemishvita Alma. So the Tahom, the depths, the water in the depths of the earth, arose and was going to destroy the world. So Amar David, so David said these Chamesh Esrei Malos, he's composed these 15 Malos, Vahoridon, and the waters settled down. So Ihachi, if that's so, Chamesh Esrei Malos, Yardos Mibayle. What's Shira Malos? Malos sounds like we want something to go up. You're telling me really we wanted something to go down. So what's going on? So Amar Lei, Hova Dakarson, Hachi Imar. This is what it really means. Bishah, Sukar David, Shikar David, Shisin, Kafatama, Baila, Mishva, Alma. So at the time that David tried to install this system, the people, the waters threatened to flood the world. So Amar David, so David said, we have to handle this bubbling up water. Mi Ika Diyada, so David's idea was to use Shem Hashem, to write Shem Hashem on something and throw it down, and with that appease the waters, the depths of the earth. So David said, does anybody know Ishari Lemichtav Shem Achsafa Benashte Betahoma Umonach? Does anybody know if it would be permitted for us to go ahead and write Shem Hashem on a piece of pottery and throw it down there in order to settle down the depths, the waters? So lack of the Kamerle Midi. So nobody said anything. So Amar David called Yidele Meimar Beno Omer Yichonik Begrono. Anybody who knows the answer to this Shaila, and I don't know, out of humility or lack of confidence, doesn't want to come forward with the guidance, their throat should be they should be strangled in their throat. So Nasa Achitofel, Kal V'Chomer Be'Atzmo. So Achitofel went ahead and he composed this Kal V'Chomer. Umalasos Shalom Ben Ish LeIshto. Oh, we know we're going to see a Maseches Saita that when it comes to being able to create Shalom Ben Ish LeIshto, so what happens? How does a Sota work? So a husband is suspicious of his wife that she's not acting faithfully. So the way the din of Sota is in the Torah is he warns her, don't be misyached with this man. And then there are Edom that he warned her, and there are Edom that they go ahead and have Yichud. So now the question is, okay, so they had Yichud. So does that mean that more happened than that? When a woman commits adultery, she becomes Aser Lebal and Aser Leboel. She becomes Aser to the adulterer. He cannot marry her. And she also then becomes Aser to her husband. That's only if the adultery was with consent, assuming everybody's a Yisra. If you're dealing with a Kohen, the rules are a little different. So there's a lot on the line, right? If it turns out, now obviously this couple's going to need a lot of counseling, but independent of that, the question is, can we even put this back together? So putting aside how we handle these situations, Bizman Hazeh, which unfortunately these shilats do come up, you know, and there are ways to deal with whether or not there's an Isser Labal and the marriage can continue. But assuming that, so what do we do? So in order to clarify this, we write the name of Hashem on this piece of parchment, dissolve it in these mei sota, she drinks it, and as we know, she dies or she receives tremendous brachas because she was exonerated. So, in order to make shalom ben ish leishto, we're mochek shem Hashem. So, umal lasal shalom ben ish leishto, amra Torah shemi shenichta b'kedusha yimchal amayim, lasal shalom l'chol ha'olam kulo. So here, we want to save the whole world. So if we want to save the whole world, then we should go ahead and be mochek shem Hashem. So the Mefarshim already ask, what's the Shaila here exactly? We're dealing with Sakanos Nefashos, right? There's what's even the question? Like, you know, why wouldn't you be able to be Mochik Shem Hashem? If this is going to potentially work to stop a worldwide disastrous flood, and all we have to do is be Mochik Shem Hashem, so then maybe, why wouldn't you just say that's a question of Sakanas Nefashos? So some say it's a Suffix Sakana, and maybe you can't be Mochik for a Suffix Sakana. Some say that it's, some say that the following. Oh, well, some say it's a suffix sakana. Some say maybe there's a case of Chilul Hashem, and maybe it's kind of like part of Avodah Zarah a little bit. It's one of the things that you have to be, whatever. But what's interesting is there are tshuvas that quote this Gemara in discussing when it comes to Sakanas Nefashos, let's say, to save a person. So we know you could definitely jump in an ambulance, right, and drive on Shabbos to save a person, right? You have Hatzalah, right? But what if I'm convinced that what's going to save a person is a segula, right? Segula, a tefillah from a particular gadol, right? Someone's very, very sick. It's touch and go. I want to get a bracha from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I believe that his brachas have the potential to save people. Can I go ahead and drive to his house to be able to save him? Can I go ahead and drive to his house to be able to save him? So some in the discussion of whether or not we would include things that are not tangible ishtadlos, but rather expressions of tefillah or segulos or these kinds of things. I forgot to bake my shulchan challah, right? And it's already tzeisa kochavim. But this is my parnasa. My family is going to die without this. Can I be mevash? No, it's obviously that's a klotz kasha. Okay. We should eat the bagels. Right? Al achas kama v'kama. So for sure. So amar lei shari. So he says it's mutter. So kasev shava achusav shadeli to homa v'nachas to homa. So this is what happened. He threw it into the thing and it calmed down. But what happened is sheisar alpi garmide. It calmed it down so much that the water went down too much. It went down 16,000 cubits. Ki chazid v'nachas tuva amar kamav debili tfei mirtav alma. But now it's too far down. It's not going to be able to saturate the world. It won't be able to irrigate anything. So Amar Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alos, so he went ahead and he composed these 15 Ma'alos to raise the water higher up so that it'll be where? Garmide Alpe, Garmide Ve'ukme Be'alfe, Garmide. So it should be within 1,000 units of away from the... So Amar Ula Shmamina Sumcha De'ara Alfe Garmide. So the waters, the lower waters... are 1,000 of these cubits below the surface of the ground. But in Bavel, we see that when we dig to do foundations for our houses or whatever, we find water much further, closer to the surface than this. We found water. No, that's from the Euphrates, that there's, you know, offshoots of the Euphrates that flow underground. But that's not actually mayim to home. That's not actually waters from the depth. Then the Gemara says, "But amdu kohanim b'shar elyon sheyored." Right? We know that the kohanim stand in the shar elyon by the upper gate. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah lemala asiris tenachus chamisha v'kari asara. What exactly is going on here? Are they basically standing on the 10th stair and they're 5 down? Oh, Dilma Denachas Asara, or they're down 10, the Kaya Chamisha, and they're standing on the 5th stair. In other words, where are you doing this count from? From the top or from the bottom? So take, the Gemara says, we're not sure. Tanu Rabbana, Mimash Shnema Pneim Kedma, Aniyodea Shachare Melechel Hashem. So the Pasuk says that their faces faced east, right? When they walked out of the Mikdash, they're walking out of the eastern gate, so their faces faced east. So if they're facing east, that means their backs are towards the Mikdash, right? Their backs are towards the Mikdash. So the Pasuk says, Upneyam Kedma, that they were facing east, and that they're Achareyam El Echal Hashem. So the Gemara says they're facing east. I don't know that their backs are towards Hashem. Elamatam Adlomar, Achareyam El Echal Hashem. Elame, that this was a terrible period in Jewish history. Shaparin Atzmas Rizin Klape Mata. That it wasn't just that their backs were to the Mikdash, but they did something very inappropriate. They defecated towards the Mikdash. That's the Mishnah. If you remember, the Mishnah brought this up as something that we acknowledge at this point, right? What would they say? The Mishnah says on Nun Aleph from Beis, our avos, they would be pneim kedma, mishtachvim kedma l'shemesh. They davened like to the sun. V'anu liyah einenu, right liyah. And that's what we get there. We have that, I think, in the tefillah of Sukkos, that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Unlike our avosenu, who the mikdash was destroyed because of how they behaved. So the Gemara is clarifying, you know, why does the Mishnah have to say both that they stood towards that direction and that their backs were towards the mikdash? Because they were doing two things wrong. They were directing themselves eastward towards the sun, and they were also, being mevayish, or worse, the mikdash Hashem. So the Gemara then says, Anu liyah v'liyah inenu, right? So the Gemara says, Inni, that's what they would say. Va'amar avzeira, kolamar shama shama, kilu amar modim modim. We're not repetitious about these kinds of things because it sounds like we're davening to two different rishuyos. So don't say modim modim, even though we're very, very thankful for emphasis, because it sounds like you're thinking this God, you're thinking that God. Sure. Don't say shama shama, right? We only say Torah Torah, right? So Elohochi Amri Hema Mishtachavim Kema V'anuliya V'inenule Mecholos. So he says that it's not like two rishuyos. We're saying that we daven towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, and we're committing ourselves that we're going to daven towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well in the future, for future generations as well. It's a statement about two different realities. It says, Rashi came into Asr, Emilu, the Mekadr, Le, Tre, Zimni, two different times. V'lav, Achad, Amilsa, Tre, Zimni, Leslanba. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Ein pochsin, me'esrim, v'achas, tekios, v'mikdosh. There were never less than 24 tekios in the mikdosh in a day. There's never more than 48. Every day, ayusham esrim ba'achas. There were 21. How do we get to 21? Tekios b'mikdash. Shalosh l'psichas sh'arim. So beautiful to imagine this, right? Three tekios when they would open the gates. B'teisha, then they would have another nine for the tamid shel shachar. B'teisha, another nine for the tamid shel ben arba'im. Over musafim, in the day they were musafim, ayu mosifin o teisha, they would have another nine. Uve Erev Shabbos, and on Erev Shabbos, Hayu Mosifin Sheish, they would have another six. Normally on Erev Shabbos, you don't also have a Musaf, but they would add another six. Why do they need six on Erev Shabbos? There's no extra carbon on Erev Shabbos. Why are you having extra six tekios? So the Mishnah says, Shalosh lahat havtil esa lehavtil esa am mimelacha. Three, to tell the nation to stop doing melacha. Right? There's a minute in Yerushalayim to blow the siren, right, to tell everybody Shabbos is coming, right, and we're so happy. V'sholosh l'havdil ben kodesh l'chol, and three to tell you there would be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. Rav Soloveitchik has in his sefer on Sukkah that this was a form of Tosefes Shabbos that would emanate from the mikdash. That they it was actually a Tosefes Shabbos, not just like Shabbos is coming, but like let's start Shabbos with this. So Shabbos shebetoch hachag, but erev Shabbos shebetoch hachag. But if you had an erev Shabbos on Sukkos, then all you shamar boy mishmona, you'd have 48. Because shalosh upsichas sha'arim, shal l'shara elyon, v'shalosh l'shara tachton, v'shalosh l'mili hamayim, you'd have all these that are extra from the simchas beis ha'shoeva, v'shalosh agavi mizbeach, tisha, then you'd have all the regular ones, tisha l'tamet shachar, tisha l'tamet shavabayim, tisha l'musafim, because it's Sukkos, right? So you have a musaf. And Shalosh Ahad B'Asal Mimin Alakha, V'Shalosh Ahad B'Ben Kodesh L'Chol, so that's your max. That's the day you can have the most tekios in the Mikdash. So then the Gemara then says, Masnis and Delok Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaPokitz L'Yichos M'Sheva, we never do less than seven, V'Amosif Lo Yosef Al Sheish Esrei, we never do more than 16. So the Gemara says, oh, that's a pretty big gap. So the Gemara says, no, but my Kamiflagi, they're not actually arguing in how many blasts there were, but rather Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Tkiya Chua Tkiya Achasi, that whenever we discuss a set, that actually only refers to one. So where it said nine, it's really three. Where it said three, it's really one, right? V'Rabbanan Sabri Tkiya L'chud V'Tru L'chud. No, you delineate them separately, and that's how the Rabbanan got to a different tally. But they're not actually arguing in how many blasts there were. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's your Rabbi Yehuda? Why would he count them together? Because it says Uskatem Trua. It says you should blow like a tekiah, be tokeya a trua. So he says, it's partial what the Torah is trying to tell you. The Torah is trying to tell you that if you don't relate to these differently, you should blow a trua. You use the word tkiah to describe trua, meaning the set, meaning tkiah and trua is all this, so when it went together, it's described as one. No, the Rabbanan say it's coming to tell you that whenever you have this trua, it needs to be accompanied independently. Not that the tekatem is modifying trua, but utekatem, you have to blow its kia before and after trua. It's modifying trua. Who the asa? Rabbanan my time mayu. What's the Rabbanan's reason? Dichsiv akos hakol tisko velo tariu. So you see, there are scenarios where you're going to have tkios and not truos. So they're really meant to serve as separate things. So Amar Achmana, Pag the mitzvah of the Pag the low of it. Say that you're going to, if it's really all one, then really describe that you're doing half, you're not doing the other half. Rabbi Huda, Uli Simon Ba'almahu. So what does Rabbi Huda do with this extra thing? That's for Simon Ba'almahu. Da'asa. For Rabbanan, Simonahu, Rachmana Shabia, mitzvah, Shabia mitzvah. And the Rabbanan say, Rachmana Shabia mitzvah. She says, Rashi, Shemitzavim la'akil b'simin zeh v'lo ba'acher. The mitzvah is that the simon should come with this configuration of blasts and not another configuration of blasts. Okay, we'll stop here, and next week is Nun Dalit Amadim.
Thank you, Baruch.